work. And I haven't been doing this for 50 years, but I've been doing it long enough to know the Lord put something on my heart, and I know that I know that I know that I know it's really for at least one person. It's for all of us, but I have a pastoral heart this morning to share something, whether it's someone who's going to watch or someone who's here. But I really feel it for somebody. I don't know who that is. Whenever I feel that, sometimes I'm usually surprised that people will tell me that was really for me. So I can't imagine this is for this person, but I just know that it is. And that's a helpful thing. Paul, when he was writing to the Corinthians, he said, "His heart is wide open to you. We've spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open." Paul really ministered, and he was transparent in his ministry. And I think for all ministry, every ministry you do, it's very important that you're transparent. No one, at least I don't. I don't really have much respect for someone who is untouchable and can never admit that, hey, you've had a bad day. And so I share, whether you know it or not, more with you guys than anyone outside of just my family. Because it's very important that I'm transparent in how the Lord works in my life, and that you can see that, because our life is we're constantly growing and we're constantly being nurtured and matured. And so I do want to share with you, I was in here at prayer on Tuesday, and this kind of struck what I'm going to speak about. I'm going to speak on Psalm 42. And I was really dealing with, I was just sad. You remember when Pastor Scott was here a few weeks ago? It was like, you know, he was talking about a prayer meeting he was at he didn't want to be in. I usually love coming to our prayer meetings. And I always come home really refreshed. And there was just there were different circumstances in my life going on at the time where I just sit in the back and I didn't participate in prayer. I just didn't want, I was just, gosh, it's going to be over with. I hate to say that, to be honest with you. And I was dealing with that. Like, oh, I just feel sad, you know. I'm not a sad person. But I was dealing with an emotion, and I was kind of wrestling with that. And you know, sometimes in the church, or let me say it this way, I'm the generation that's after my generation, Generation Z, I think it's called, is. And I don't say this. You guys have a different spirit, and I hate to classify people that, you know, hey, you're a millennial, so that means I have to act every way they act. No, I'm actually a child of God. I'm a son of God. That's my identity. You know, but each generation is shaped by different things that mark the time in which they live. That does shift some of their mindsets. And we're always having our mind renewed by the Word of God. I'm aware of that. But one of the things that's been taught in colleges, and we see some of the fruit of it, it's called kind of the fragility mindset. And it's that the idea that Andrew and I were talking about this. What doesn't kill you makes you weaker, as opposed to what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. And so my grandfather's generation, the one who fought in World War II, he was, we say he was a tough old codger. I mean, nothing rattled in him. He was tough. And so we have today kind of the mindset that my feelings are superior, whatever I feel dominates me, and if something is harmful to me, then I need what's called a safe space where I don't hear anything else that's going on. And sometimes the idea of a safe space can be good. It's good if Billy comes to me and he knows, hey, this is a safe place to be open and transparent and talk, and I'm not going to judge him. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about shielding yourself from anything detrimental, what you seem to be detrimental to you. And I was sharing with Owen, if I lay on the couch all day, and this is how the Lord made us, if I just lay on the couch all day, my muscles, my body's going to atrophy. My body's going to start breaking down because we're designed just the way God made us biologically, that stressors and weights, per se, we need to build us, to keep us going and to keep us strong. That's why a lot of times, even with joblessness, when I was unemployed for a while, it was a real struggle because I felt like I had nothing going on, because I'm designed to be productive. That's how God made us. He didn't design you just to sit all day. Maybe there's the monks he did. But most of us, because there's stressors that we need in life, there's weights that we need in life, and those things are good. And sometimes there's two primary things. Always trust your feelings, which is not always correct. And what doesn't kill you makes you weaker, which is the fragility aspect. But I want to say this. Paul wrote this, and we always say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that's true. But in Philippians, don't turn there, just listen. But Philippians chapter 4, verse 11 through 13, it says, not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content. I know how to be abased, and I know how to be abound. How to abound. It meant Paul had moments where he really was in need, and moments where he really had all he needed. Okay? Everywhere and in all things, I've learned both to be full and to be hungry. And he's not talking about fasting there. He said, I've learned how to be, I've got enough food, and I've learned how to go to the pantry, and there's nothing there. Both to abound and to suffer need, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So what Paul's saying is that my feelings, my emotions, my outer circumstance doesn't change the contentment that I have, I should say. There's an old proverb that says, all sunshine makes a desert. And sometimes the Lord does allow our different, which I'm going to talk about in Psalms. I've heard Psalms expressed this way. They say it's a diary of a manic depressive. And if you read it, the guy's up, he's down. He's up, he's down. He's up, he's down. But the central theme of it is it always finds its center back in God. And so emotions and feelings, they're not bad. I have some, there's some 39 different emotions that Jesus experienced. I'm not going to read all of them. Or 39 different occasions. In Mark 14, 33, he says, I am troubled and deeply distressed. One thing I'm doing right now for somebody is I'm giving you the freedom to say it's okay to be a human. Because sometimes even in the church, we religiously condition ourselves to say, I can't have a feeling outside of something that's just perfect. It's okay to have feelings where I'm troubled and deeply distressed, as long as it brings me back to the Father. As long as it brings me back to Him. And so sometimes we react religiously rather than just humanly. And Jesus became, God became man. He was in all points tempted as we were. We do not have a great high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, Hebrews tells us. It's the beauty of Jesus. Okay? He was, in Mark 10:14, says he was greatly displeased. He had anger. If you remember when the Pharisees were upset when he healed on the Sabbath, so he looked around at them in anger. Anger, I've preached on that here, it's a good emotion, but it can't control you. Be angry and do not let the sun sit down your wrath. Okay? I can be angry, but I can't go to bed with it and let it continue. There was sadness. Jesus, I've shared about this. Jesus, Lazarus, he wept. There's a well of emotion that came over him. Okay, he was hungry. He was thirsty. He was human. We know about that. He had love. It said he looked at the rich young ruler and said he looked at him and he loved him. You imagine Jesus looking at us, looked at him. Guys, trying to find me so far away, and he looked at him and he loved him. All these different emotions. He had peace. You know, in Luke 10:21, in the original, when the disciples were coming back and say, hey, even the demons submit in your name, the original says, in the original language, says Jesus actually jumped and spun with joy when the disciples returned, which is kind of cool. Jesus was a man, he was human. He was all God and all man. Great is the mystery of godliness, that God was manifest in the flesh. It's a mystery. No one can explain it. I don't understand it. But it's true. And so he lived the full gamut of emotions. And so I wrote down in here, feelings and emotions are not the measure of truth. Jesus is. That being said, it doesn't deny the emotions, but it makes them come alive. Okay? So the gospel makes my feelings and emotions, as the Psalms do as well, it makes them come alive. And so one thing I've seen as well, a lot of times just personality types, but even in the church, you have people who are all stoic. There's even a Calvinism teaches that to some degree, where you shouldn't show emotion, you shouldn't clap my hands, I shouldn't do this, serious business. And then you have people who are just completely governed by how they feel that day. I don't feel like doing it, so I'm not doing it. I feel happy, so I'm going to act this way. I feel sad, so I'm going to do it. There's a blending between the both of those. Okay, it's not just all one or the other. My emotions are healthy and they're good as long as they're centered and they don't dictate the truth of who Jesus is and who he says that I am. Amen? And so feelings are not the measure of truth and they're not to be discarded. And I'm saying this because I was preparing this. And let me say this too. Back to Philippians. Paul learned in all states to be content. We see in Psalms, he always comes back to God. If I am constantly in the state of, I had a sad day Tuesday. If I lived like that, then I would really need to really go to God, which we can go to in a minute in Psalms 42. And that's not God's portion for me forever. So I do want to say that to you. I'm not sitting here justifying everything. Same way, if you're happy all the time and nothing's ever wrong, it means you're probably not growing. You grow the most through discomfort. You really, really do. When I look back on my life, the times I've been most uncomfortable are the times I've grown the most. Again, that's how God made us. So there's times where I'm really not happy. I'm really growing. But there's times I'm really happy and I'm great for that. I had a moment in here yesterday with the Lord and I had such joy. It was just this, and I just worshiped God. It was an amazing thing. If I lived like that all the time, you would not be able to relate to me at all. And I wouldn't relate to you at all. And if I was just moody blue all the time, and I never overcame that and never came to the Father, you would have a hard time being around me as well. Okay? There's a contentment that's found in Christ Jesus that he needs to bring it to. Not discarding the emotions, but I'm coming back and I'm finding him in there. So I do want you to turn with me to Psalms chapter 42. And I'm going to, it's a short psalm. I'm not going to be terribly long, but I do want to look at it verse by verse. And I'll jumble some of the verses up. While you turn there, one thing that kind of reflects this with Paul's life as well. 2 Corinthians 12, he was called up to paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for man to utter. That's an amazing experience. And then in the same chapter, he says, I can take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches, in necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake, for when I'm weak, then I'm strong. What was Paul doing there? He was embracing the whole gamut of, you know, hey, I'm being taken to the third heaven now. The next day I'm suffering stresses and all that. I can do it all through Christ who strengthens me. Amen? So Psalms 42. And this is, quick little point on this. This is a psalm from Sons of Korah. And they were musicians. If you go back to 2 Chronicles, I'm speaking on the Tabernacle of David here. This was meant to be sung. And psalms were meant to be... There's a denomination, I don't know the name of it. But their worship services, they just sing the psalms. Which is... I don't have a problem with that. But each thing, they just sing the psalms. And so I'll say this, as far as when you read the Psalms, they are meant to awaken and express and shape the emotional life of God's people. Okay? I can sing this and I can relate to up here, down here, always coming back to God. And it was also called a maskil, M-A-S-K-I-L, which is it's a teaching or an instruction. So it was a song that was also meant to instruct. So... God's Spirit, those who worship Him in what? Spirit and in truth. And so when I read the Psalms, and this is important, it means I'm thinking and I'm feeling with the truth in the Word of God. Okay? I'm thinking, I'm having my mind, love the Lord of God, all your heart, soul, and mind. I think. But I'm also expressing my emotions as well. I'm also seeing emotions in there. So I can have both when I worship God. Amen? I was at a meeting one time and the guy says, Christian guy, and he said, just empty your mind. No, you don't just empty your mind. That's New Age. You fill your mind, the Word of God, the truth of God. You renew your mind. God gave us a mind to worship Him and serve Him with. Amen? So if you're ever in a meeting and a guy comes in and says, just empty your mind, don't do it. It's not biblical. Okay? So love the Word of God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And so, in Psalms chapter 42, I'm going to read verse 1 through 3. And it says, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul for you, O God. Andrew, I've enjoyed these old songs you've been doing. You did one, I glorify your name in all the earth. I haven't heard that in a long time. I love it. I really can meet God with it. And there's another old song, as the deer pants for the waters. You don't want me to sing it up here. Why do you think, Owen? You've heard me at home. He's heard me. He's not a terrible singer. So yeah. That is truth. Amen, Hassel. So I love that song as well. But he goes on and says, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God? He is in desperate straits. They're in exile. They're having a rough time. He says, my tears have been my food day and night. Have you ever been really upset? Really, if you have kids and your kids aren't eating, you know they're sick. Your body's not working right. Same thing goes spiritually. If I'm not eating, if I'm not hungry, there's a sickness going on. You're distressed. He said his tears are his food. While they continually say, where is your God? He says in verse 2, when shall I come before and come and appear before God, even though God was there? But what I want to say to this, as the deer pants for the water, so my soul thirsts for you. Okay. First things first. If I find myself in a distressing situation, this is just practical, okay? If I'm me on Tuesday, and I'm really, really sad, I'm having a hard time, I'm going to counter this later on, but I do want to say this first. Sometimes our tendency is to run to every Tom, Dick, and Harry we can find and try to fix it. And I would challenge you, based on this, his first response, as the deer pants for the water, Brooks, the psalmist recognized that at the end of the day, his distress had to be satisfied by God. And sometimes, when you're in a rough place, that's the hardest thing to do. And it might be the worst thing and the furthest thing from your mind. But for you, if that is you, I'm going to give you another tool later to use, but say, no matter how I feel, because he talks to himself in this psalm. He talks to himself. Talk to yourself and say, you know what? At the end of the day, I'm not looking for retribution from this guy over here. I'm not trying to fix this or that. At the end of the day, Lord, this is a need and this is a problem, and it has to come down to my soul panting for you. There has to be a hunger, because all emotion, Jesus experienced the gamut of it. If it's left undetected, it's going to lead me. If I'm super happy all the time, I'm just going to be hysterical. If I'm super mad all the time, you're going to see me in the street burning stuff. If I'm sad all the time, you don't want to be around me, or I'm mopey, or this or that. Whatever other... If I'm all lovey-dovey all the time, I'm never going to have a firmness and a backbone. If I'm all backbone all the time and harsh, you're never going to feel love for me. Okay? It's important that we all center back in Jesus, because He is the complete. And I'm not governed, I'm not dictated, and an emotion I feel isn't who I am. I had someone tell me once, this was a while ago, I'm not dealing with this now, they said, Clay, you're not I'm not going to give that example, I'm just going to use it this way, the sadness issue, I'm not a sad person, I'm just having a sad emotion. It's important to recognize that. I'm not an angry person, I'm just mad at that right now. It's important to govern and to speak to ourselves and recognize that I have to find God in this. So in this, I can say, Lord, having a bad day. What are you teaching me in this? Where are you at in this? How can I find you in this? That's easy for me to stand up here behind the pulpit and say, I know, I've been there, I've lived it myself. It's hard. But I would challenge you to talk to yourself and do that. Amen? Lord, I'm here. Where are you in all of this? Amen? Do I not feel heaven or... It says, while they continually say to me, where is your God? That sounds like a popular refrain today. But that's the situation he was dealing with. And in verse 4, he says this. He says, when I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. For how I used to go with the multitude, I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise with the multitude that kept the pilgrim feast. So what does he do? He goes back to memories. And we often talk about history with God. And there's two histories of God that's talking about this psalm. And this one is a history of God that he had with the people of God. And he talks about how I used to go down with the multitude. I went with the house of God. And he was talking about going down and worshiping the old festivals, Passover, Pentecost, and Tabernacles that they had. And here's the underlying thought of this. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. There's times in my life and there's times in your life, I don't care what you say, where you're designed to connect with the body of Christ and have a history with the body of Christ. In America, we have a lot of great things in America. But one other thing in our DNA is independence. And when we carry that over into church to an extreme, it's not biblical and it's detrimental. You're not made to live your life alone. There's times in my life where I have a hunger for God, and I've actually told Andrea, my hunger now is just to be around other Christians right now and just talk about God with them. Like, I could go pray and read my Bible, and it's just because God designed us that way. Let me read this to you real quick. Confess your sins one to another and pray for another that you may be healed. James 5:16. I'm going to turn there. It's not just confess it to God. We do confess it to God because only He can forgive us by His blood. But He also says there, confess it to one another. I have a book at home. A lady sent me yesterday. She has a ministry. She's a missionary, an AG missionary. Her ministry is to those who deal with same-sex attraction and eating disorders. And how God, she overcame all of those and she's set free. She's married now with kids. And I got it yesterday here in the office. I didn't read the whole book, but I read in it enough. And she was talking about a situation in her life where she was really, because it's not God's intention that you struggle with things forever. I don't want you to hear that with me. But she was really wrestling. And she shared stories in her life where, you know what? This person, she listed names, really was with me in this time when I was dealing with this particular issue. And they walked me through, and they prayed with me, and they counseled me. What is that? It's a history with the body of Christ. Okay? And this person, I remember someone, they're not in this church, so don't let your minds go, but they needed counseling. There's an issue they really needed some help with, and I shared that with them. And I don't need another person. The Holy Spirit's my counselor. Okay? Your life's a dumpster fire, and you don't need the body of Christ. Give me a break. I'm sorry. I'm designed to need you. You're designed to need me. That's just the way it is. And you will never fulfill your individual purpose in God apart from a corporate thing. You need other people in your life. You just really, really, really do. And so one thing the psalmist was saying here, when I remember these things, he had a history with the body of Christ. I have a history with the body of Christ. And I need that. I'm refreshed by that. I'm strengthened by that. When I can go to Billy, and I'm dealing with, I've been sad for 10 days now, and Billy, and there's somewhere in Corinthians, I don't remember where it is, but how God would take us through situations in our life that we can help pour and sow into others. And I can go and say, hey, this is a brother. I can sit down and have coffee with him, and he can pray and walk me through it. He can give me some helpful things that God showed him along the way, and ultimately point me to Jesus. Anytime you're ministering to someone, like I said, don't make them attached to you. Sometimes we get needy and want people to need us. No, we need you to need Jesus. But we have to have that. So have a history with God, with other people. So if I'm wrestling with a gamut of emotions that are out of control, find someone that you can take to coffee someday. Find someone that can be with you and walk with you in those things. Amen? Okay. Verse 5, why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise Him. So he had a lot of reasons to struggle. He was distanced from home, unbelievers taunting him, memories of better days. But he talked to himself, and he challenged his feelings. He talked to his soul. Sometimes, once again, I let my feelings dictate and govern what I am and who I am, instead of who God says that I am. And it's important that I talk to myself. I'm going to give you a verse, because this is for you in a minute, that's just helpful just to say to yourself, to talk to yourself, to remind yourself who you are. Martin Lloyd-Jones, who I like, he was an old British theologian, and he made this statement, I'm going to read it to you. He says, have you realized that most of your unhappiness in life is due to the fact that you are listening to yourself instead of talking to yourself? Take those thoughts that come to you the moment you wake up in the morning. You have not originated them, but they are talking to you. They bring back problems of yesterday, etc. And somebody is talking. Who is talking to you? Yourself is talking to you. And he talks about how this is how what happened here in Psalms 42. And instead of allowing the self to talk to you, this man talks to himself. And I want to give you a beautiful passage that's good to say to yourself. This is just practical meat and potatoes. It's Romans chapter 8, verse 31. I'm just going to read it to us. And you know this. Once I read it, you'll know it. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? Who shall bring a charge against God and his elect? It's God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died, and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Again, he covers a gamut of things, of issues. For it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long and counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. You could just say that to yourself every day. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor anything in creation shall separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. We used to sing a song like that in church. And that's helpful. Talk to yourself. Because if you don't, all of us know, I get thoughts that come in. And they start coming up with feelings. And I think, this is who I am. This is reality. And I've always said this. The more if Billy, I think he's, you know, does something that's inappropriate to me, the longer I stew and dwell on that, the bigger it becomes. Take it to God. Take your feeling to God. Take your emotion to God. And it's okay to have it. Okay? In verse 6, it says, oh my God, my soul is cast down within me. He's being honest with God again. Therefore I remember you from the land of the Jordan and from the heights of Hermon, from the hill of Mizar. There's a personal history with God. Everyone in here has a personal history with God. You're born again. You have a personal history with God. And just recently in my own life, I was praying and thinking through some things. And I always tell you about the prayer journal. And I read through my prayer journal. And I saw that, wow, God does work all things together for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And I said, Lord, if I had tried to work these things out, I couldn't have done it. But God does. And it's important in moments, no matter what that moment would be, your emotion, take a moment and remind yourself, I remember 5 years ago. I remember 10 years ago. I remember when God met me in this place at that time. And it builds faith in you because it's easy to forget that. Amen. If you, Moses even sharing in Deuteronomy to the people, when things are good and you move into the land, do not forget the Lord your God. Even in good times, it can be easy to forget the Lord God. When everything's perfect and hunky-dory and I'm on top of the world, it's easy just to fly and flit through life. Amen. But God designs all these things to bring you back to him. Okay? In verse 7, deep calls unto deep. At the noise of your waterfalls, all your waves and billows are gone over me. Quick Bible trivia. Does anyone know where that's quoted at in Scripture? Who quotes that? It's Jonah and the whale. So then he took that. That wasn't a good day for him. But it was, in a sense. It says, the Lord will command his loving kindness to me in the daytime. And in the night, his song shall be with me. Prayer to the God of my life. So he affirms God's sovereign love. I just read to you verse 8. Romans chapter 8, excuse me. And just to take a couple minutes in rough times, I had a thought recently, and this might help someone. I just think it's weird to think this way, but think about you. Like, how did I happen? Like, everything about me, how did this happen? I mean, think that God designed me. He formed me in my mother's womb before the foundations of the earth. He had me in his heart. We hear that if we've grown up in church a lot and we brush it off. That's mushy, gushy. But actually, if you just stop and meditate on that, I did that this week and it blew me away. Wow. Before the foundations of the earth, what I am, he saw, and he loved, and he formed, and he predestined, and he ordered, and he structured all my times. It makes me want to cry right now, actually, to think that. Like, I don't know how anyone could really stop and get over the gushy thoughts of it and just meditate on that. And if that can't just lift me to God, no matter what my circumstance is, God, you love me. You love the people you've called me with, you formed me. And he also sings. He says he would sing to God in the night. I think I had something about that one time. I'd give a little thing on it. One of the hardest things to do, and again, I've been there, done that, have the t-shirt, and I'm not good at it. But especially, one, in happy seasons, it can be easy to bypass it, but in bad seasons, it's really hard to sing to God. But that's what the psalmist says. Sing to him in the night. I can think of times in my life where the last thing, and it, again, I'm not good at it. I'm not good at it. Don't have, I'll pray for you. It's a struggle. But it's good when I'm really struggling because I'm sacrificing and offering him something when my emotions tell me not to. I really think that separates in some ways the men from the boys, as the old expression goes. Can I sing to him in any circumstance? Lord, help me to sing to you in any circumstance. I've come in here before. Any circumstance, Lord, even if it's 2 minutes, I'm going to go back there and put on a song and sing to you for 2 minutes if it's all I got, and then I'll go back and be mad for a little bit, and then I'll go back and sing for 2 minutes. I've all shared this story this was probably 8 years ago, I guess, and I didn't trust God at all. I was driving in my car, and I said, it's so sweet to trust in Jesus. And every fiber of my being saying, it's not. And I sang that thing. And I tell you, it didn't change right there for me, and then it didn't. But it built something. And I think the Lord really looks at moments like that. And I don't know what he sees when he sees that, but it strikes his heart. It grabs his attention. Billy doesn't feel like it right now, but he's doing it anyways. That's as believers, that's who we are. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like it. God, I really don't feel like you're worthy to be praised today, but I know that you are. Mm-hmm. Your word says you are. You are. And so that's a tough thing, but it's something we can do. Again, just like the psalmist did, talk to yourself. And he goes back and says, I will say, I'm almost done. Give me about 5 more minutes. In verse 9, he says, I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Now, there's a contradiction. God, you are my rock, yet you've forgotten me. And I was thinking, Jim, Mott, I always think of you, and I think of the verse, come, let's reason together. I wrote that verse down, so I'm thinking of Jim. It's okay to be honest with God. You have permission. God, you are the rock. But why have you forsaken me? God, you are the rock. I don't feel you in this situation. I don't see you here. But you are the rock. Be honest with him. Again, read the Psalms. You have permission to just be honest. Your emotions are not bad. They don't govern who you are in Christ. And they don't dictate the truth. Jesus does that. The Word of God does that. But your emotions are okay. I can have this emotion, and I can be honest. I don't see you right now. Amen. Back to one of the passages I shared before when he says, why have you forsaken me? And Jeremiah somewhere, I don't know the exact address, it's in Jeremiah, says, do I not fill heaven and earth? And there's a story of, I give these a lot, Brother Butler was in, Walter Butler was a Bible school teacher. And so these two girls came to me in the office, they came to school on fire, came to my office and said, you know, brother, we've been here for 2 weeks and we don't feel God. Like, okay. And he just gave them the verse, do I not fill heaven and earth? One of them left the school, the other one stayed. Grew to be an amazing woman in God. Because when I don't feel God, do I not feel heaven and earth? When I don't feel you now, I don't see you, but you're here. Amen. He shall give his angels charge over you, as I said to the kids earlier. Because his angels with you. The Spirit of God is with you. He fills heaven and earth. Amen. And he goes on, why do I go about mourning? Because of the oppression of my enemy. As with the breaking of my bones, my enemies reproach me. While they say to me all day long, where is your God? That just means it was continual. And sometimes, especially I think it's been throughout history, there can be a constant nagging, and a constant nagging, and a constant nagging you might feel. Not necessarily your portion, but just again, as I said with Owen, sometimes the constant, Owen, I'm bragging on you today. But he's asked some really good questions, and he really opened the things of the Spirit of God. And we were driving to Mystic yesterday, and he said, I think there's just, we were talking about this before we said it, it's just a supernatural battle going on all around us. Yes, there is. And sometimes when we're really in tune with the Spirit, we can feel those things. If you're an intercessor, a burden will come on you. Sometimes if you go in Rome, if you're really in tune with the Spirit of God, I'm in a Rome. Oh, there's a store in Mystic. I went with my brother when he was here. He just wanted to go in there and pray. It was at some New Age store or something. I don't know what it was. And I went there after him. As soon as I went in, I was like, whoa, picking up what's going on in there. And the Spirit, I got actually physically dizzy. So I immediately just started praying in tongues and went into action. And I was looking for my brother. And so it's important to recognize we live in that spiritual battle. And oftentimes the church would numb ourselves to it because it's not, I don't want to deal with it, or it's too weird. I was listening to an ex-Satanist talk one time, and she's a lover and follower of Jesus now. And she was saying, Christians just don't know, we're in this constant, there's a spiritual forces. We wrestle not with flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. It's all around, and sometimes the Lord using us, we can feel those things. Amen. And it's important that, especially if you're an intercessor, I'm not an intercessor. I've noticed sometimes intercessors can really take on the mood of what's going on around them, with feelers. And it's very important if you have that thing going on in you, you're always centered in the truth. Amen? Okay? And that's a good thing. It keeps our muscles strong in the Spirit. And the last verse, and then Andrew, if you can do a couple minute song, I'm going to pray. It says, why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you disquieted within me? What's he doing again? He's talking to himself. Talking to yourself. Don't let everyone talk to you. Talk to yourself. Amen. Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. There's a quote, I think it's okay. He was not a Christian. Ralph Waldo Emerson. But it's biblical to me. He said this, the hours should be silent in order that the centuries should speak, lest one's hour speak a word that falsifies the witness of the ages. I'm going to say that again. The hours should be silent in order that the centuries should speak. In other words, what's going on with me right now doesn't dictate who God is. It doesn't dictate the history of God. It doesn't dictate his plans and his purpose for the future. Lest one's hour speak a word which... In this instant society, I've been guilty of it myself. This has happened now. All the world's falling apart. Lest one's hour speak a word that falsifies the witness of the ages. Lest one's hour speak something to us that discredits everything in the whole character and nature of God. Discredits everything in the Word of God. At the end of the day, I'm giving someone in here permission to say, you know what? It's okay to have a rotten day. If you are someone, and I would say this, it's no one lives on a perpetual high, but some people live in a perpetual low. And And that's not God's portion for you. And I don't want you hearing me say that this morning. If that is you, I do want to pray with you at some point. And sometimes there's a walk to wholeness and a walk to health. It's just like when your spirit, sometimes when your spirit's torn, just like if Evan scraped up his knee, that takes time in the natural to heal. Sometimes we have rips and we have things. And it takes some time, but once again, you need to walk with God and you need to walk with others, but that's not God's portion for you either. So as we close, I do want to ask Andrew to do just a couple minutes song if you have something to say. And I do, Bob, I do feel to pray for you. If anyone else wants prayer, you're welcome to come up as well. Do you have something?